Praise the Lord. Father, we just want to say thank you for gathering us together this evening. We acknowledge that without you, we can do nothing. We acknowledge that you are the one who is our life. Father, we're grateful. Thank you because you have given us your spirit. Your word says, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. Father, thank you because you have made us able ministers of this new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter kills, the spirit gives life. Our ability, O Lord, is of you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're looking this evening at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3 to 6. And I read, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. Praise the Lord. So immediately from this scripture, we see that there's a war going on. The weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And it tells us how to walk in the verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. And this is very important because there is a relationship between the spirit and the physical. And it's so easy for us to forget that we're spirit beings in a physical body living in a physical world. And from this scripture, we're taught that we have weapons of this for this warfare. And these weapons, they are not carnal, they're not fleshly. But they are mighty, mighty weapons. And how are they mighty? Because they come through God. And what do we use them for? To pull down strongholds. Then we cast down imaginations. And then every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So that is what basically the fight is about. But you now think that I would have thought in the flesh it's physical, war, kill, destroy. But now we're talking of imagination, high things that exalt itself against knowledge, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then we go on, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, in the previous verse again, we do not war after the flesh. So we must not forget this. It's very important. But we'll come back to it. Let's look at the war first. The war. What's this war about? Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 6. Verse 10. But let me first read verse 12, because it tells us what the war is about. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So those are the people we wrestle against. And so you can now know who the war is targeted against. And then again, let's see what the Apostle Peter has to say about it. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant. because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Immediately we are told there's an adversary. So now he's the devil himself. And he's not a physical being. So that's why we have said it's not a war of flesh and blood. And another scripture says, flesh and blood is not your enemy. Now, it tells us what to do. We must resist him steadfast. How? In the faith. And you remember in Corinthians, it says, we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. It's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. So, it tells us what to do. Resist him steadfast, knowing that the same afflictions that are accomplished in your brethren, the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And then it goes in verse 10, it says, but the God of all grace. And that word is so comforting. All grace. Not one left. Every available one. Who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. You see, so you can't fail in this war. But there will be some suffering. Why will there be suffering? It's a war. And in any war, it's not a game. It says, looking for whom he may devour. It's a do or die affair. And the victory, which we are assured in by Peter, has some conditions attached to it. Again, Ephesians 6:10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In a war, there's no place for any weak person because the worst comes out of people. And it told you that we are fighting spiritual wickedness in high places, principalities and powers, horrible demons. Remember that woman? Jesus said, ought not this woman be set free, whom Satan has bound these 20 years. She was hunched over. And today we see such a woman, what do we say? Spinal, cerebral, crisis, lysis, hospital, surgery. Something, a name will be given to it. But our Lord Jesus Christ says, no, this is Satan. And he set her free. He says, woman, thou art loose. She straightened up. So she was a covenant child of God under the covenant of Israel. But Satan has no respect for the covenant. So what does the word advise us? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in your own energy, not in your own mind or in anything. In the Lord and in the power of his might. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. I was talking to a man somewhere in Bedford those early days. And I said, the way the young men in Britain are these days, does he think that if there's another world war, these British youths can fight like in 1945 when the British were so, you know, rigorous, very disciplined and resisted Hitler and fought valiantly? So he said something that shocked me. He said, do we really need the youth to fight these days? He said, the technology has gone so advanced that at the press of a button and something. So the warfare has changed, is what he's saying. The other boy who was stupid enough to be joining ISIS and killing somebody, despite being British, I think his name is Ali John or something, and he beheaded the person on video. What they did was to get his voice. And by the time they located his voice, through technology, they knew who he was. Through technology, they targeted him with a drone. Nobody was sent. This drone located him, and it was wiped out. So it's all part of the war. But he says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What will happen if you don't put on the armor? That's number one responsibility. Ask yourself, if I don't put on the armor, what will happen? Be strong in the Lord is a command. and in the power of his might. Who is mightier than him? No one. This morning we're looking at Isaiah 40. He said, look up. See the sun, the stars, the heavenly bodies. I made them. He says, I call them out by name. Not one of them is missing. That's how mighty a God I am. And he says, you should put it on. And he's going to say, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Oh, John has so hurt me. Oh, Peter has betrayed me. Oh, Peter wants to kill me. No, flesh and blood is not your enemy. Joseph, Potiphar's wife, lured him. He resisted. Now, Potiphar's wife was not his enemy. She was a willing tool in the hands of Satan. And God, who has the whole picture, knew what he was doing. He has to test you. Remember, it says, after you have suffered a while, he will make you perfect. He will establish you. That was part of his testing. So the woman was also something to be used. But he withstood that test. There was comfort. There was every temptation. He's gone through hell and come out. And this first respite. Oh, if I leave Potiphar's house, what will happen? Oh, maybe I should just. He said, no. And then those wicked spirits using the woman were disgraced. So he says, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. And he tells us what to do. He says, having done all, stand. He says, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Brothers and sisters, no human being on earth. That's why Peter said, the same afflictions you suffer, even your brothers in the world, those who don't know Christ, they also suffer. So don't think, oh, as he's outside, he's enjoying. No. Everybody's going to go through a trial, one or the other. And the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have its perfect work. That's what the same word says. He says, take unto you the whole armor of God, and you may be able to stand, having done all stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall quench, you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. They are darts. You see, like that woman who was bent over, it was a fiery dart of Satan that had bent her for 20 years. 20 good years of her life lost in pain and suffering. The woman with the issue of blood, the same thing. And then, even Lazarus. And look at Lazarus' case, very funny. After 4 days, a friend of Jesus is raised. And these people come back and say, wow, let's stone him to death. This great miracle that this man has done. If people hear, they will start following him. So they are not happy that Lazarus has survived. They want to send him back to the grave after 4 days in the grave. So the enemy is a ruthless enemy, wicked spiritual forces. The fact that you are saved doesn't mean that they are not going to come at you again. It's consistent and you have to stand. So he goes on and says, take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So we are a body of Christ. We uphold each other. And I'm coming to that. We uphold each other, watching thereunto for all the saints, not just for myself alone. And so, but this evening, what I want to concentrate on is the weapons of our warfare that are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What is a stronghold? We now have established that there is a war going on. And now we have weapons that are mighty through God and that we need to pull down some strongholds. So you ask yourself, what is a stronghold? Immediately it comes to mind. A stronghold is a place of refuge, a fortress, impregnable. And in that stronghold, there's somebody hiding there. It might be an army, it might be. They are safe in that stronghold. Psalm 91, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. So God himself is a stronghold for we, the believers. And nobody can penetrate that stronghold. So he says, casting down imaginations. That's after pulling down the strongholds. and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And it tells us at the same time, put on the helmet of salvation. You are saved. Remember that. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. That's a helmet. You must remember that. You are not who you used to be anymore. So who are you now? I would try to say something that took me time to understand. And this is one of the terrible effects of a stronghold. You see, a stronghold works in both ways. God is our stronghold. But if you are deceived, it can also be a stronghold. I can't make it. I cannot be successful. This sickness cannot be cured. If that woman with the issue of blood had said, I've spent all my money, visited all the doctors, yes, this man is doing miracles, he can't do it, she would not have come to him. She would not have pressed through. Those men that carried their friend, you could imagine, in that condition, then they climb a roof, remove the roof, and lower him. If there was a stronghold of unbelief in their minds, an evil heart of unbelief, they won't go out like that. They can't do it. So that stronghold keeps you. I am saved, but this is not for people like me. God can't do it for me. So, who are we? Let's look at 1 John. I love 1 John so much. 1 John 4:9. Let's start with 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So first of all, do you have a mindset of an overcomer? Or a mindset of, I might overcome today, I might not overcome tomorrow. This might be greater than me, this might not be greater than me. It's normal. Don't think it's abnormal. You remember the victory of David over Goliath? How many days was that man standing and tormenting the whole of the children of Israel? Convent with their king, the anointed one of God, the army of the living God, one man. But you see, his size was terrible. They saw that size and they said, no, this is instant death. I won't risk it. The king himself was somewhere saying, is there anybody? I will not be the world. Is there anyone that can face this Goliath? But somebody with a totally different mindset. And what impresses me in that story is that the Bible says David ran towards Goliath. It wasn't a case of, let me see how to. As Goliath was coming, David was running to, that was, because it says, you are standing against the children of the Most High God. Coming against me with your curses and everything. I'm coming against you in the name of the Lord. The weapons of his warfare, they were not carnal. He's not walking by sight, not looking at the sight. So they say, you are a madman, you're going to die, he's going to crush you. That's what his brother said. And let me tell you, my brothers and sisters, the people closest to you are the ones that would weaken your faith. Brother, sister, mother, friend. They don't do it because they are bad. We don't fight flesh and blood. They don't know about it. So the Bible says, walk with wisdom towards those that are without. They don't understand who you are anymore. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we go on. He says, in 5, they are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. You see, as the world is going now, some people are saying, what nonsense is he saying? I was like that once. I say, he's a new creature in Christ Jesus, especially the girls. I felt, look, there are some girls there, they're so nasty, they've wasted their time living a very loose life. Then all of a sudden they say, I'm born again. I now want a decent man who has kept himself. What is new? All things have passed away. All things have become. What's new about? Don't be trying to be smart. I didn't understand what the Bible was talking about. But the word of God is like we learned this morning. It's so sure. It never fails. And that's where I'm coming to. It says, in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son in the world, that we might live through him. Note that word. You are not living by yourself. You are living through God. You are living through Jesus Christ. Now, there's another stronghold identified immediately. How am I living? Who is in me? Who am I? Do I remind myself, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world? I'm an overcomer. The one in me has overcome the world. Or do I easily slip back into the old mode? There's a book, Seven Habits of Most Highly Successful Men. So I bought that book for my little nephew at Bedford. Thin version. These people have made so much money from these books. And the first, so I try to teach him. Bless you. I try to teach him so that he could develop these habits, since I'm telling him about the gospel and it doesn't seem to be. I'm praying for him, I hope, yes. So I said, okay, at least let's try the physical. Successful habits. Wake up early, be determined, be diligent, work hard. And I noticed that the first thing there was be proactive. He says some people, most people react. This is what has happened. This is what we do. He says successful people are proactive. So I said to myself, is that not what the word of God is saying? You cast down every evil imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You capture it and subject it to Christ. So you're not reacting to that word. David was not reacting. He saw Goliath, he saw his size, but he weighed him against God's word. He weighed him against his covenant with God. He weighed him against his experience with God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And he's not going to forget it. He's not going to say, I've heard the word. Oh, that was such a wonderful sermon. Oh, we're blessed. It was so exciting. Oh, the delivery was perfect. These are tools of life. He's a shepherd boy. He's destroyed the lion. He's destroyed the tiger with his bare hands. The mindset I have today is that a lion and a tiger is not for bare hands. But he had the mindset of a warrior. But now I'm a warrior. I must renew my mind in line with God's word. Like we heard this morning, this is a sure foundation. You can never fail. Why? Because God doesn't lie. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God stands secure. So what does the enemy want you to do? He wants you to shift. He wants you to walk by sight, not by faith. He wants you to doubt God. And he says in that verse 9, that we might live through him. Please remember, Jesus Christ said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. You are not independent. You are not independent. You are dependent on him. Without me, you can do nothing. But that stronghold, go through the churches. I read a book, one of the old English men of God. And he said, anywhere he went, he emphasized the union with Christ. And I want to tell us today that if you do not remember or receive or acknowledge or accept that you are not alone, you are living through Christ, he's the vine, you are the branch, you can never succeed as a Christian. Because God will have mercy. I'm not saying he might not have mercy, but you can't fulfill divine destiny, because he's saying, I've made you one with my Son. And I'll quickly go to true scriptures. Two, so that we can see it here. It's not really where Jesus is so far away. No, we are created in him. You are the workmanship of God, Ephesians says, created in Christ Jesus. But it's hard to grasp, so the mindset can't receive it. But you must pull down that stronghold of unbelief. It says, where is that now? Yes, 1 John 4:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because when Jesus appears, some people will shudder and run away. No boldness. He says, because as he is, so are we in this world. As Jesus Christ is now, seated at the right hand of God, so are we in this world. So it's not me that said it. This is the word of God, as Jesus is. Do I see myself like our pastor, assistant pastor said, God made man in his image and likeness. God was so good. He made us like God. That's why he could come and discuss with Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening. That's why Adam and Eve could have the whole dominion over the earth. But in my mind, it took me some years to pull down that stronghold. You know how I saw Adam and Eve? I saw them most probably like Tarzan in the jungle. A jungle with these men covered in maybe one some of glory kind of thing. And they're just there in that jungle. But over the years, I started studying the word of God. There's no skyscraper. God didn't have plans for skyscrapers and Satan and this kind of setup. He had a super being, a friend made like him. It would have been a glorious world, too hard to imagine, beyond my present imagination, because this is a fallen, debased world where everybody is after each other, struggling for money, no money, you can't eat. This is my country, that is your country, this is my house. We've even forgotten that we're in one earth. You can't enter this country. I'm going to take this, you can't, you're not, it's one earth he made. And the foundation was love. Glorious world, God himself present to fellowship with us. But thank God we're restored back to that place. And if we don't know how it was before the fall, how will we know what we're restored to? Now it says, my fellowship, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And this is what we invite you to. Fellowship, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Now, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going. I will send the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. He will lead you into all truth. He will teach you. He will guide you. We have a comforter. And that's why it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can't do anything outside the Spirit teaching you. Listen carefully. It says, without me, you can do nothing. Anything you are doing that is not... You see, God has a master plan. He made everybody. And every day you begin to see God in daily life. You're going to Australia. You're at the airport. A captain is flying the plane. An air hostess is serving food. But some people have packed your baggage. Some engineers have built the plane. Some people have cleared the snow from the runway. No one person can do it alone. Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Now, in the same way, it says, like the human body, puts each one in his own place. Somebody can be a heart, somebody can be a lung. But all working together for the whole. Look at the letters of Apostle Paul. He has pulled down strongholds. He's never written a letter and said, I, Paul, am writing you this letter. Paul and Timotheus. Paul and Timotheus and Silvanus. Paul and the brethren that are here. Because he sees the unity of the body. I'm not writing alone. We're writing together. All of us are one in Christ. And God puts each person in his own place. What if I'm not in my place? What if you are meant to be a stomach and you go and take the position of the heart? Our fellowship is with Father and with the Son, that your joy may be full. That fellowship will tell you what your calling is, where you are supposed to be. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, he gave power to be sons of God. You can't lead yourself. So he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear was one of my worst enemies. One of my worst enemies. And I resisted it. And then this attack came. And it tried to come back again. I said, no, I'm not going to give anything. God has not given me a spirit of fear. I have to stand on it. And so he says, after you have suffered a while, you have to say, no, fear is not normal. The world says it's normal to be afraid. But quickly, let's move on because we'll soon close. Let's go back again to Ephesians. I'm just trying to say who we are, what God has made us to be. This is another one that really, I saw it year in, year out, year in, year out. I never took it in. A stronghold. I had to pull down that imagination. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Oh, sorry, 5:10. Oh, sorry, 5:30. 5 verse 30. It says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. Now, which body is he talking of? The body of Christ. We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. You and I are members of the body of the living Jesus. Remember, the word says, he raised us up together with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus at the right hand of God. I don't understand it. How I am at the right hand of God and I'm here at the same time. How I have come unto Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. How I am in the presence of God. In the presence of Jesus Christ, the mediator of this new covenant. In the presence of that blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. The blood of Abel is crying revenge, revenge. The blood of Jesus is saying he's free, he's free. He's victorious. He says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm redeemed. Nobody can touch me. So you see what he has done? He has made us one with his son. We are of his flesh and of his bones. And you see, he talks of a husband and a wife in these preceding verses. Then he says, for this cause, in verse 31, he says, for this cause shall a man leave his wife and a mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. So you might say, oh, maybe he's talking of wife. But if you read the whole chapter, you see that he's saying, this is a great mystery. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We are of his flesh and of his bones. That unity with Christ is what assures you of permanent victory. And that is the stronghold that must be fought. That stronghold that I'm not living through Christ. He says, God was so gracious. This is how his love was manifested. 4:9, John 4:9. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world, that we might live through him. So once that eternal life comes into you, in him was the life. That life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness. Darkness can never comprehend it. Satan and these cohorts are defeated. And so you have the victory. There are three main enemies of the believer: the world, the flesh, and Satan. We overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, because we love not our lives unto death. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. How about the flesh? We were circumcised with a circumcision that is not made with hands, by putting away of the nature of the flesh. And God did it. So all these have been taken care of. We have absolute victory. So you see, there's a stronghold that makes us feel we're still defeated. We have to struggle to overcome Satan. That's why it says we don't walk by sight. And this is to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. So everything the enemy is doing, we see it clearly. Why did they say there's no God? That we came from monkeys? That we evolved. They know what they are doing. They are planning that so that they will say, you don't have to obey God. The minute you admit somebody made you, you must live by the rules of your maker. There's no way. So what do I do? I say, nobody made me. But then the man who says, nobody made me, we just came to be, sets up rules, organizes the society. We're living by somebody's rules. You are living by somebody's rules. We get to the airport, they say, oh, terrorists have attacked. You can't travel again unless you go through a scan. Somebody's going to sit down and watch your naked body. You have to accept it. Somebody says, okay, we're going to now use thumbprint. And somebody comes and says, we're going to put chips in your hands. It's so convenient. Your salary is transferred by a chip. Your service is chip. So look, it makes it easy. You can start your car with a chip. You can do that with a chip. We can put it on your forehead if you like. If you don't like your forehead, okay, put it on your hand. Just swipe and you're true. So we say, yes, I don't mind because it's so convenient for me. Your passport, everything is on that chip. Nobody can take it from you. So who is managing this whole system? We go in the train. Nobody's bombing us. People want to bomb us in the train. Who is protecting us? The state is not. And when those people who are leading are not godly people, who are they? You can't be godly and not godly. There is no middle road in this place. So we are assured of victory. The victory is ours in Christ. And that's why when we sang today, he cares for the sparrow. I know he cares for me. No sparrow can drop. So the only issue now, our brother preached about grace, and we had the God of all grace. This morning, our pastor preached the sure foundation standing on the word of God. Every other thing is false. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the word of God. Now, we are united with that word. And I plead with everybody, we must always remember that. I'm not separate from Jesus. I'm living through him. I'm not Jesus. I'm a member of his body. Just like this finger is not me, but is a member of my body. And my life flows to this finger. So that is why the life of Jesus flows through us. In him was the life. That life was the light of men. And if you don't have his spirit, the Bible says you are none of his. And how do we know we're born again? Because we have his spirit. And we don't need any man to teach us, because you have that spirit in you. And then any man who is teaching you not because he knows it, because his spirit has shown it to him. I will conclude with Paul. Paul was like many of us. He tried to know God in his own strength. He was so well educated, but he had to unlearn all that. And so we too have to unlearn many things and stay only with Jesus. He's a person, he's a being, he's real. He's not a book. He's calling you to fellowship with him. Our fellowship is with the Lord and with the Father. If you don't have that fellowship, what do you have? How will you know what he wants? How will you serve him? So, Ananias, I've saved this man. Go and lay hands on him. Ah, Lord, that man is a nasty man, is a killer. Said, no, I've saved him. You go there. You see, the whole Bible is God talking to his people. There's nowhere where God didn't talk, where they said, I think this is what God means. God must have said this. God, I think. No, it's communication, father and son. We must pull down that stronghold that makes us not to enjoy this. This is the war we are fighting, the fight of faith, the only fight we are called to fight. Abide in him. Let his words abide in you. You ask what you will to be done unto you. Praise God. Father, we just say thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.